We're going to read together from God's Word. We're reading from 1 Peter chapter 3. I'm going to read verse 1 through to verse 7. But today, this morning, our focus is on verse 7. But we'll start at verse 1. So 1 Peter 3, we're going to read at verse 1. Wives, in the same way, be submissive to your husbands, so that if any of them do not believe the word, they may be won over without words, by the behavior of their wives, when they see the purity and reverence of your lives. Your beauty should not come from outward adornments such as braided hair and the wearing of gold, jewelry, and fine clothes. Instead, it should be that of your inner self, the unfading beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is of great worth in God's sight. For this is the way the holy women of the past, who put their hope in God, used to make themselves beautiful. They were submissive to their own husbands, like Sarah, who obeyed Abraham and called him her master. You are her daughters if you do what is right and do not give way to fear. Husbands, in the same way, be considerate as you live with your wives and treat them with respect as the weaker partner and as heirs with you of the gracious gift of life, so that nothing will hinder your prayers. Let's pray together before we think on this verse. Father, we thank you for your word. Thank you that it speaks truth to us. Thank you that it is always relevant to us. And we pray as we tackle this verse that you would be our teacher. Where there is any lacking, we pray that you would make up for that. Please give us understanding in our hearts as to what this means, and live our lives accordingly, we pray in the name of Jesus. Amen. Well, husbands, our time has finally come. It's been looming over us for the last few weeks after the break of Easter. Previously, we'd been thinking about Peter's instructions to wives, and we spent 2 weeks on verses 1 to 6. If you weren't here, please do borrow a CD or go on the web, and you'll be able to look up what we said on those six verses. But we're finally at 1 Peter 3:7, and this now is addressing husbands. So I hope you've brought your hard hats or at least your shin pads. I jest, of course, although this verse may well come as a rebuke to some of us in some ways, and if that's the case, I hope we will heed the rebuke. But what we must realize is that this is God's grace to us. Just turn back with me to 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 14. We're told in 1 Peter 1:14, as obedient children, do not conform to the evil desires you had when you lived in ignorance. So we're told in 1 Peter 1:14 that we used to live in ignorance. And living in ignorance, notice the link, led to evil desires. That is a pathway of brokenness and disaster. For those of us who believe in the Lord Jesus, we no longer live in ignorance. It's amazing. Understanding what Jesus did in history, so all the events surrounding Easter and all Jesus' life before that, and also his resurrection and ascension into heaven, all those things that Jesus did in history, in time and space, believing those things means we are no longer in ignorance. And when we no longer are in ignorance, the flip side of that verse is, so when we are in ignorance, we are conforming to evil desires. But no longer being in ignorance means we now live in a way that is different. We know God, and therefore we are becoming holy. We are becoming more like him. And as we keep reading in Peter, specifically in chapter 2, and verse 11 and 12, and we'll come on to that again in a moment, but that marks us out as aliens and strangers. So now, because we are no longer in ignorance, we live differently. So that knowing about Jesus, believing, trusting what he's done, means we live differently. Those things are inseparable, so those works are not saving us, but they are a direct result of believing and trusting and knowing certain things. So in 1 Peter 3:7, specifically, this is how husbands, when they are no longer ignorant to the gospel, how they will be living, seeking to live in relation to their wives. So let that be a challenge to us, because if we're not living like this, then that raises real big question marks about whether we are still in ignorance or not. So 1 Peter 3:7 is for people who are no longer ignorant. And like the quote I mentioned just a few weeks ago in regards to wives and how they should be behaving, it's a C.S. Lewis quote that someone paraphrased. It was this: delighting in the law is like arriving on solid ground after a shortcut gone bad through the mud and the mire. And that's where we're at here in 1 Peter 3:7. Even though it might seem difficult, even though it might seem countercultural, this is arriving on solid ground. And the natural man, the man who loves darkness, the husband who is ignorant, doesn't want to live like this. And he's the one with the hard hat and the shin pads on, because he's not wanting to change. And so if the natural man in us is doing that, we need to take the shin pads and hard hats off, and we need to allow our hearts to be molded and shaped by the truth we see here in verse 7. So it might be painful, but the only thing that's going to be hurt is our pride and our self-esteem. Someone once said, boys never grow up, their toys just get more expensive. So we move from toy cars to real cars, from pretend drills to 240-volt drills, from plastic string guitars to all singing, all dancing effects pedals, etc., etc. The penknife gets changed for a chainsaw, etc., etc. And if you're going to get the most out of one of your new toys, what's it really important to do? It's really important to read the instruction manual, which men are not too good at, but that's what we're to do. If you're going to get the most out of your item, you need to read the book that accompanies the book, but that's not enough, is it? Not only do you need to read the book, but actually, you need to understand and kind of grow with the item you have as well. So let me give you an example. A long time ago, I bought a chainsaw, and I have two chainsaws now, thanks to Tony. But one of them, the first one I bought, is sat on a shelf waiting to be fixed. And it broke once before, and I tried fixing it once before. And after I fixed it, I must not have just quite got the carburetor right. I'd never done one before, so I had a screw loose as well after I'd finished, which is always a bit alarming. And when I was operating it, to get the best out of it, you just sometimes had to just squeeze the choke a little bit more. Just get a bit more petrol through. So knowing the manual was fine, but I needed to have a little bit more knowledge that came from just first-hand experience and just having this item in my hand. Why am I telling you that? Well, hopefully that helps us to illustrate what Peter, the point he's making in verse 7. The NIV, which is the 1984 version, which is one I read from, says, husbands, in the same way, be considerate as you live with your wives. I know some of you, like me, also enjoy using the ESV. Some of you bring that to church with you, I know, so you will have read. Likewise, husbands, live with your wives in an understanding way. So we've got in a considerate way, in an understanding way. The literal translation of what they're doing there with considerate and understanding, a literal translation is to live according to knowledge. Now that's a bit of a clunky phrase to just translate. So that's why we get the words considerate and understanding. But that's, we understand the gist, don't we? That's what husbands are being told to do. To live in accordance with knowledge. So like I said, when you get a new toy, whether it's a car, a phone, a guitar, a chainsaw, whatever it is, you need to act in regards to that item following the manufacturer's guidelines. You need to live according to knowledge. And the way that marriages work best is by living according to knowledge, to understand certain things, husbands, about wives, and to be considerate to those things. Now, please don't push my illustration too far, because a wife isn't a thing to be trying to get the most out of in that way, like an item. Please don't push it too far at all. And neither do we ever get to the point where we can say, okay, I've got my understanding, I'm done now. You know, I've got all the understanding I need. There's not just one mold wives come out of. You know, every one of them, like husbands, are all different. So it takes a whole lifetime of loving and growing in understanding to try and improve and perfect in what husbands are being instructed to do here. So what are we to understand, to live according to knowledge? What is it husbands are supposed to understand. Well, we're going to come back to the context shortly, but before we do, I want you to notice at the very beginning of verse 7, the fact that it says, husbands, in the same way. Husbands, in the same way. Your translation again might say, likewise, at the very beginning. Now, we've already seen that phrase or that word already used. We've seen it at the beginning of chapter 3. So at the beginning of chapter 3, verse 1, it says, wives, in the same way, or wives, likewise. Now, where does that lead to? Well, before that, if you look at verse 21 onwards of chapter 2, we've been given an example from the Lord Jesus Christ himself. So it says, to this you were called, because Christ suffered for you, leaving you an example. Before that, we've got instructions to slaves. Slaves are to submit to their masters. And before that, we have this instruction that everyone is to submit to every authority instituted among men. Now, what do we have before that? Well, notice verses 11 and 12 of chapter 2. There we are told to live as aliens and strangers. So as Christians, we are to live differently to those around us. We are to live differently to those around us because we know the gospel. How are we to do that? Let's take it through forwards. Well, we're to submit ourselves to every authority. Slaves are to obey their masters, even when they're harsh. Look at the example of Jesus, who took our sin, who took our shame, who suffered even though he was totally innocent. And then, wives, submit to your husbands. And then, husbands, in the same way, we are to live according to knowledge with our wives. So please note, husbands, this is going to be costly. See, that's the whole point, because we have two examples, if you like, submitting to authority, slaves submitting to masters. Then we have the example of Jesus right sandwiched in the middle, and then we have wives and husbands. So it's all looking, all pointing to the Lord Jesus Christ. And his obedience to God cost him dearly. It took him to the cross. That's what he was willing to do. And he is the example that's held up to us as believers, saying, live this way. That is costly, and it will be costly living. Now, on first inspection, we might think, well, wives perhaps have it harder. They are to be submissive to their husbands. That's costly. That's going to be difficult for them. But the fact that we have in the same way, or the likewise there, in chapter 3 and verse 7, shows us that this is going to be costly for us as well, blokes. Husbands, living in accordance with knowledge is not going to be a walk in the park. This is going to be costly. It's going to take supernatural life in our hearts to be able to do it. So we're going to spend a bit of time, the main time probably, on the first according to knowledge, and then we'll see the second one, then the final point Peter makes at the end of verse 7 as well. So the first according to knowledge. So what is it husbands are to do? How do we live in accordance with knowledge? Well, let's read the first part of the verse again. So it says, husbands, in the same way, be considerate as you live with your wives and treat them with respect as the weaker partner. Now, in some versions, it might not say weaker partner. It might say weaker vessel. And that's the word vessel. In 2 Corinthians 4, 7, we have the same word. It says, but we have this treasure in an earthen vessel or in a jar of clay to show the all-surpassing power is from God and not from us. So Paul there is using the same word vessel, translated jar of clay, as Peter is using here. Why does Paul use it? Well, Paul is trying to make a contrast between the all-surpassing worth of the gospel, this news report about the Lord Jesus. He is comparing that which we have as believers with the fact that we are nothing in comparison to the gospel. We're not powerful, we're fragile, but yet we have the gospel within us. You know, we are just temporary, but this gospel is permanent. So why does Peter decide to use the word vessel here? Well, the fact that he says weaker vessel shows that he has both men and women in mind. They're both vessels. Perhaps, again, it's just to remind us that we're fragile, that we are weak. But whatever the reason, part of the knowledge he wants husbands to have when they are living in Christ-exalting ways towards their wives is the fact that their wife is the weaker vessel. So men have the genetic advantage over women, the fact that men have the X and Y chromosomes, which means men are stronger, have greater stamina, and are fitter. I mean, why do we tolerate such inequality at the Olympic Games where men and women compete separately? Or why in tennis, other than mixed doubles, is there men's and women's competition? Or why in football is there a men's league and also a women's football league? It's because women are the weaker vessel. Now, I'm not suggesting that at the end of the service we all have an arm wrestle competition and just check that's true, because what we're doing here is talking in generalizations. It wouldn't take you too long to find someone stronger, fitter, and faster than me. In fact, if you got either Serena or a sister, like Venus Williams, and took them in a time machine back to they were 12, and took me to when I was at my prime, and we played tennis together, I doubt I would get a point, unless they served a double fault, of course. But they would just be vastly better at me at tennis. I'm just absolutely useless at tennis. I dare say a top female football star would make me look very silly on a football pitch as well. But we're talking in generalizations. So generally, men are stronger than women. I'm not comparing individuals here. So husbands, we are to live according to that knowledge. So when we're living with our wives, we are to live in accordance with that knowledge that men, husbands, we are the stronger vessel. Now, what does that mean? Well, it has a whole range of implications when it comes to leadership, provision, and protection. The husband should be the one who is leading. The husband should be the one who is primarily providing. The husband should be the one who is protecting the family. Men, it is totally wrong for us to expect the same thing from our wives as we would expect ourselves to do. I remember someone explaining, I think I may have shared this with some people already, but I remember someone explaining that to love somebody doesn't necessarily mean treating them as you want to be treated. Now, what did he mean by that? This person who explained this to me, he used this illustration. He said, there was once a man who was scratching his head thinking, what can I get my wife for her birthday? And he thought, well, I'd quite like a shotgun. So he bought his wife a shotgun for her birthday, thinking, that's what I want, that'll be what she wants. Now, when it came time for his birthday, he received a very expensive pearl necklace. And his wife kind of repaid the favor. And it's a silly story, but it makes a point, doesn't it? To love someone does not necessarily mean to treat them as you want to be treated. So husbands, when we approach our wives, to use that word, in our minds and what we think about them, we are to operate from the position that we're not just to treat them in the same, because they are different to us. They are the weaker vessel. We're to be those who do take the lead and protect and provide. Now, what does that mean? Let me just mention a couple of practical things. So, for example, going outside when it's dark. Some wives are really nervous about that. It doesn't bother me at all, going outside when it's dark. But let's say my wife didn't like doing that. Should I just say, come on, Holly, man up. Just go and do the bins, come on. You'd be all right walking into Ashton in the middle of that, it's fine. No, of course not. So it's living according, it's just a silly illustration, but it is living according to knowledge. What about emotionally? Because, men sometimes, and we generalizations here, this isn't specific people. As a man, you might be emotionally weaker than your wife, but generally, men emotionally will be stronger. So perhaps a close friend of yours, both of yours, dies. You might get over it much quicker. You should tell your wife to get on with it. Come on, time's moved on. No, of course not. Now, like I've said, for some of you who are listening, you might be thinking, my wife is emotionally stronger, my wife is physically stronger. Remember, this is the manual. But lifelong study and love will help us to get to know our wives, to understand our wives, to see areas where she's weaker than us, and that we're to act accordingly. There's once a book written called Men Are From Mars and Women Are From Venus, and that about sums it up. We are different. Very different. You see it in children, don't you? Lads fall out, they have a scrap, and the next day it's all forgotten. girls fall out and people aren't talking to each other and everyone's involved. Well, and my brother-in-law said to me, having raised two boys and a girl, he said his daughter came up to him and said, "Daddy, am I beautiful?" His boys never asked him that question. But we're different, aren't we? So husbands, we are to treat our wives accordingly. Not as you treat your mates. That's not living as God intended. If you expect your wife to respond to things in the same way that you do, that is just a false, false assumption. We are to show honor, respect, and esteem, understanding their weaknesses. It's really interesting, Ephesians chapter 5, Paul, writing to the church and writing specifically to husbands, says, "Husbands, love your wives just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her." What does it mean to live according to knowledge? What does it mean to love your wife? Well, Paul says, you want to know? Look at the Lord Jesus Christ. And look at how he gave his life for the church. How did he do that? He was nailed to a cross. That speaks of selfless, sacrificial love. I will do my best for the church, no matter what the cost. However costly this is for me personally, the Lord Jesus said, I am willing to pay that price. I mean, he could have said, they shouldn't have sinned. He could have said, I'm going to leave them because they're weaker than me. I'm going to leave the church just to kind of just go and be condemned for eternity. But he did not. He said, even though they have fallen from grace, even though they have disobeyed and rejected me, I'm going to do everything for them. I'm going to pour out my own blood for them. If Jesus did that for people who hated him, husbands, how are we showing love? How are we acting according to knowledge? How are we showing consideration for our wives who love us? If Jesus did that, so costly, so selfless. Yet so often it's all about us, isn't it? It's all about my terms, what I want, what I expect. But husbands, we're not to live like that. At primary school, there's a very cruel thing that sometimes happens. It's called picking teams. Have you ever been there? And you're just thinking, I just know I'm going to be last. I know I'm going to be last. It's really cruel, isn't it? Everyone's lined up. You're on my team. You're on my team. And everyone knows who's going to be last. And sometimes you get someone who's a bit sympathetic. And maybe they pick them earlier. Or maybe they're just left till the end and everyone just knows no one wants them on the team. Now, Peter certainly is guarding against that in 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 7. Husbands, just because wives are the weaker partner, that doesn't mean they get the sympathy vote or we patronize in any way. Because look what Peter goes on to say. So this is again verse 7. Husbands, in the same way, be considerate as you live with your wives and treat them with respect as the weaker partner and as heirs with you of the gracious gift of life. Of the gracious gift of life. Be under no illusion. Your wife, if she's in Christ, even though the weaker vessel, she, like you, is an heir of the gracious gift of life, eternal life. It's interesting, another tennis illustration. Last year, it might have been the year before, around Wimbledon time, there was a huge debate about who should get more prize money. Should the men's competitors get more prize money? Should the women's get equal money? And some people are saying, well, the men's get a bigger audience, they play for longer, so therefore they should get more money. And other people were saying, well, you know, the women, they should be on equal terms, and they should get the same amount of prize money. And so the debate rolled on, and everyone who kind of commented on it came out in a bad light. Whatever you said, people were being shot down for whatever they said. Well, notice here There is none of that in the gospel. Because even though, husbands, you may be, we may be the stronger vessel, that doesn't mean better. That doesn't mean more privileged. That doesn't mean more valuable. That doesn't mean different class. So we might have the responsibility to lead. We might have the responsibility for provision and protection. We might be the stronger vessel. But we are co-heirs of all the promises of the gospel. There is true equality. So therefore, husbands, what are we to understand that? We are to understand the fact that our wives are a weaker vessel. We act according to knowledge. We understand they are a weaker vessel. But we also understand that they are our peer. They're our sister in Christ. And in Christ there is neither Jew nor Gentile, slave nor free, male or female. Total equal. So we do not rule in an inconsiderate, non-loving way. No, we're equals. Now notice, as we start to draw to a close, what Peter says at the very end of the verse. He says, end of verse 7, we'll read the verse again, husbands, in the same way, be considerate as you live with your wives and treat them with respect as a weaker partner and as heirs with you of the gracious gift of life, so that nothing will hinder your prayers. So husbands, realize, put simply, your relationship with your wife, if that's wrong, your relationship with God will be wrong. Because if your relationship with your wife is not 1 Peter 3:7, it's not like that, if that's not how we're living, then actually our relationship with God isn't right because our prayers will be being hindered. Now, why are our prayers hindered if we are not treating our wives in acting according to knowledge? Well, the answer comes in chapter 3 and verse 12. It says in chapter 3, verse 12, for the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are attentive to their prayer. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. That is quite a verse. That is quite something to think on, husbands, as we consider how we are treating our wives. Because we might feel like we are keeping up to the mark in every area of our Christian lives, but if we are not living 1 Peter 3:7 and not treating our wives with esteem and honor and respect, and not living according to knowledge, understanding that they're the weaker vessel, but also co-heirs of all the gospel promises, if we're not doing that one thing, our prayers will be hindered and our spiritual life will not be what it should be. Why? Because the Lord's face will be against us. He won't be attentive. He'll not be listening, saying, what's Michael praying today? How can I answer Michael's prayer this day? No, he'll not be listening. It'll be hindered. I find this so, so challenging. Let me mention a verse in Proverbs 18:22. It says in Proverbs 18:22, he who finds a wife finds what is good and receives favor from the Lord. Finds favor from the Lord. A wife, for those of us who are privileged enough to have them, are a precious, precious gift from God. If we don't feel like that, my suspicion is we are not doing verse 7 at all. If you are not living with your wife in accordance with the knowledge that she is the weaker vessel and we're to be considerate of that, but also that she's our equal in the gospel, then we will fail and we are not treating this precious gift from God well at all. As we are living this lifelong journey, as husband and wife, husbands, we are to work hard at understanding our wives, at understanding how she is unique, how she is different to any other wife we could have, and we are to seek to esteem her, to respect her, especially where she's weakest. and we are to treat her as our equal. If you have received a wife, you have received a precious gift from God until death does you part. So treasure her as a gift. Thank God for her and love her as Christ loved the church. Let's bow our heads and let's pray together. Father, even though this is very specific, in a more general application, we are reminded that as aliens and strangers, people see how we live before they know what we believe. And Father, thank you that when we live in a Christ-centered way, people see something attractive and they see life as it should be lived, and it just makes sense. Father, our prayer, or my prayer this morning, is specifically for myself and all other husbands in this room, that you would help us to do 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 7. Would you please save us from the false wrong assumption that we are doing this well? We know sin is so deceptive and it blinds us to the reality. Help us to be selfless in our marriages, following the example of the Lord Jesus Christ, who gave his life for his bride, the church. Help that one day action of the Lord Jesus Christ be the model of every single day of our lives. Because this is how life works best, and it's how we will find most joy, but above all, it's how you will receive most glory in our lives. So please, would you, by your grace, help us to do this. For husbands that need to go and say a big sorry to our wives, help us to do that. For those of us who are doing quite well, just help us not to get complacent, but to keep going. We really do need your help in this, Father, so we're asking for your grace. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.